Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love these days of Advent. I love them because they begin with these incredible texts which describe this amazing end time. I like it because it takes me back to those halcyon days of my seminary studies. My area of specialty was, believe it or not, eschatology and ethics. And I love to get deep into studying how those wonderful texts of the end times somehow impacted on our days these days, and the atonement theory and things like generative mimetic scapegoating and eschatology. Oh, it's just amazing. And I pine for those days when I could write those 50-page papers on esoteric themes. And I feel sorry for you college students who think that's hard work. It's wonderful. But what I have come to grow to love even more is not the theory of it all, but the flesh of it in real life. With all of the craziness that has been going on in our world, we certainly feel as though those end times must be coming near. We feel the birth pangs that were talked about in the gospel lesson from last week. We certainly see signs in moon and stars and earth and distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of seas and waves. And good Lord, we know that people are already fainting from foreboding of what is coming in the world. And some would say that all of those signs are pointing to a closed future in which all things will be made new. And maybe that is so. For all of my study and theorizing and writing, I just don't have an answer. But what I know is this: we are truly God's people living in the time between the times. We have those bookends that God has given us that I shared with the children. And there is this sort of uncertain beginning and this very uncertain end. But what seems terribly certain is what is in the center. Our life today. And I think it is to that life that Jesus speaks. How will you live in these times between the times? In my honors thesis, I wrote that somehow we needed to live in the present as if God's promise for the future is true and is real. And God's promise for the future is that God will be with us always. We may occasionally get lost along the way, but somehow God will be present in and for and through us and with us no matter what. And yes, times will be dismal. But do we then look for some cosmic closing of the age that seems to be so popular to save us? Do we pine for the time when all things will be destroyed and act as if somehow that's the panacea for the world? Jesus speaks of the fig tree and of all the trees. And that when you see the leaves begin to sprout, you know that spring is near and the time is at hand. That springing leaf is, I think, for the Christian church, the cross of Christ. if we want to see how God is acting in the world today, we begin in that cross. It is to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that is to what we have been called. That is our call. And if we are looking for hope in this hopeless world, if we're willing to begin to live out this blue color, this color of hope, it begins in the cross. I don't know what the end time will look like. I don't even know that there is such a thing. What I do know is that God continues to call us into God's future. And there is our ministry. I'm drawn to the words of the psalm. Maybe Jesus will come down in clouds, but in the moment Christ is with us now. And how do we know this? Because God always remembers us. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. To get a clue as to what our pages look like and will look like in the future, we look to the ways in which God has remembered God's people. God remembered Hamor. God remembered Noah and Noah's family. All of the craziness of the world and all of the ways in which God's people had done away with goodness, and God remembered Noah. God remembered Rachel. God remembered Naomi. God remembers mercy and truth. And if you want truth, then be remembered by God. I think that's the core of our Advent hope. The core of our Advent hope is certainly the future promise, but also the reality that in this moment, God remembers us. We are certainly not perfectly made. The evidence of that seems clear. I wish in so many ways that I was perfectly made. But I need help in God. This morning I shared that I'm pretty clear that I'm not perfect, partly because no matter how hard I prepare for something, it seems I always forget something. And in fact, here we have all of these wonderful words about getting prepared and being ready and lifting up our head high. But as for me, I know that the earlier I get up in the morning, so that I can be sure that I get my wallet, my keys to the church, my briefcase, and my alb. The earlier I get up, the more prepared I think I am, the more likely it is that I will have to make a phone call. Gene, could you bring my alb again? I think in this gospel lesson, when Jesus commands all of us to be ready and to stay awake, it's not a call to be perfect so that we will have this sort of moral uprightness and all of our ducks in a row so that on the last day we can pass the judgment. But instead that we are made ready in the cross of Christ, ready for compassion, ready for justice, ready for service, ready for hope. And we are made that way not of our own accord, but by the God who has created all things and redeemed it in the cross. I love these days of Advent because they pull us into God's future, sometimes kicking and screaming, but we are called into God's future, made real and fleshed out in Christ. And in Christ is our hope and our path. So I hope you too will love these days of Advent, not only for the countdown of candles to that magical day, that wonderful celebration, but that we are counting down in the midst of our history, a time between the times, pages of God's book for the world. Amen.